Welcome to the Meal Mentor Podcast. I'm your host, Lindsay S. Nixon. This is the 28th episode in the Co-Pilot series where we can chat about making the plant-based lifestyle more doable, especially while facing the common challenges and roadblocks we all face on our journey to better health and weight loss. Today's guest is one of our Meal Plan annual members, and she is a mama of four, and I'm so excited to have her on just to talk about what it's like with kids and being a mom, but we also share some really similar food sensitivities, which are not the most common ones. Well, one is a little common, but the other one's not. And it's just this whole time we're going to talk about kind of making it work when you have an allergy, even if it's a funky one, and substitutions, and a little bit about exercise, and basically what you do when you can't have beans, which is one of those things that everyone's like, well, you can't have beans. How could you possibly be plant-based? But we're going to make it work, and we're going to show you how we make it work and talk about that. But before I jabber on anymore, please join me in welcoming Nikki. Hey, Nikki.
Hi.
Thank you so much for coming on the podcast today.
Thank you for having me.
So one thing when we were talking earlier about sort of your journey and how you came to a plant-based lifestyle, it was sort of kind of like a roller coaster. It was up and down all around. You've been consistent for a while now, and you've had some great health results, you know, and you've lost weight. Maybe you can sort of give us a quick bio of like your struggles and your journey of how you got here.
Okay, I had, I started a family really young with my husband and I, and so I think in 5 years I had 4 children.
Woo! That's you, girl.
Pretty much. I have a gap between my first two and my last two, but in the middle there's 14 months between my two children. And so my body kind of went through all kinds of phases really fast. And by the end, my doctor was like, so you're not going to have any more kids, are you? And it was because my babies wanted to come early, the last two especially. And I had a lot of health issues with that. And so I ended up having my tubes done right after I had my fourth child, which he found out I actually had one tube that was already like almost completely sealed shut with scar tissue from we don't know why. So he said, you're really fertile, because I had 4 children.
Yeah, with only one tube working. Wow, yeah.
It was working hard. And so after that, though, I had to be put on like birth control. That was the first time I had ever used it. And it really messed me up. I refused to take the other shot. The second set, and I had gained weight, and I had always fought depression, and that kind of started coming back. And then I got to a point where I was like, this enough is enough. I have to do something because I hate the body that I live in. And so, my in-laws had gone my in-laws had gone paleo, which I feel like a lot of plant-based people start there.
Yeah, I've definitely noticed that as well. Yeah, they start with paleo and then they end up plant-based, which is weird because like the two communities seem to try to like fight each other all the time. Like we actually have a good bit in common, and maybe okay, never mind. Cute. Yeah. You continue. Another topic.
Yeah, I think if you focus on the paleo, the fact that they do actually say sometimes, like, hey, you're supposed to have a lot of vegetables, but mm-hmm. I think it's so easy to say that, but it's a lot harder to do that when you're having so much animal protein and products because you're full.
Right.
You don't need, it's like you get that steak and you're like, that was awesome, but now I don't have any desire to eat the broccoli next to it.
Right, yeah. Or the asparagus. Uh-huh. And then I think they don't like potatoes very much. And I love potatoes, but another
day. No, they hate potatoes. Potatoes are bad. and rice, all the things that I couldn't live without. But
right.
Anyway, I did lose 30 pounds. My husband lost more than that in like less than 2 months. It was huge. And I think it was because we went off of the sad American diet that's just processed foods and junk. And so we started feeling really great, but pretty soon we started feeling not great. And I've never processed red meat well, and I've never been able to eat eggs without feeling ill. And if you know paleo, that's a huge part of that. And so I started doing some research, and I ended up going crazy and being like, I'm just having fish. That's it. I don't feel any different when I'm having fish, so I'm going to have fish. So then I did that, and I was like doing more research, and I found like Forks Over Knives and Veggiecated and all these Netflix, you know, documentaries that were on Netflix, and I was like, oh my gosh, I can never touch something from an animal ever again. And so I got my husband finally interested because he and I do like everything together, so it's kind of hard to separate our worlds. I know a lot of people can eat a whole different diet, you know, than their husband and spouse, and I give them so much credit because I can't even imagine having to do that. Because just a couple weeks of doing it then was crazy with four children being fed and like, what do we give them? So, anyways, luckily he jumped on board and he was just like, I mean, once you see some of those movies, it's really hard not to.
And you guys have both like lost a good bit of weight still.
Yeah.
I mean, you'd lost weight on the paleo diet, but then you came plant-based and you lost even more.
Yeah, we pretty much doubled what we lost originally. My husband has lost over 60 pounds.
That's incredible.
Yes, and people are like, I didn't know you had 60 pounds to lose. And I think that that is something that is another whole other story, but I think it is also has to do with the fact that we accept people as a specific size in our culture. And then when people get thinner than that, they're like, oh my God, are you supposed to be that thin?
Yep.
And it's like, really... Yeah, it's fine. It's actually okay. But we're just so used to this supersized world that, like, it's hard to imagine you smaller than you are, even when you do have, you know, I have 20 pounds to lose still. And people always are like, you don't have 20 pounds to lose. And I'm like, you just know, you know?
Yeah. It's no, and I really appreciate you saying that. The only other person that ever brought that up, and I really appreciated him as well, was on Benji's podcast. Benji's lost 135 pounds. And, of course, even he himself said, you know, 135 pounds ago, I would have never believed that I could lose 135 pounds. And if you see him now, he actually, like you said, he still has a little bit of weight left to lose. But I do think that is definitely true, that we are such a supersized, you know, nation now. The rate of obesity or just overweightness is just growing just beyond even words. Like, the statistics can't even keep up. It's happening. But I saw that too. Like, first, I didn't want to really be honest with myself with how much I needed to lose. And part of it was, I think I was just used to everyone else was this bigger size. And as I would lose weight, people would be like, oh, I think you really lost too much. But my BMI still wasn't healthy. Like, I still wasn't meeting healthy medical standards. All my friends and family told me I looked fabulous and I loved the compliments. And everyone told me you're getting too thin, but I still wasn't medically healthy. And I was like, this is really confusing.
It's really hard. My family was the same way. It was like, Nikki, if you lose anything else, there's not going to be anything left of you. And I'm like, you don't see me naked.
Words. Oh my God. They said the exact same things. Like, there's not going to be anything left of you. You're all skin and bones. But then I went to Asia and I went to Europe and I was like, oh,
yeah. It's normal to be skin and bones.
Yeah, I was like, they're all really slender, but they didn't look bad to me. Like, they looked healthy and fit. And then I came back to America, and because I was gone for a month, and I came back and I was like, oh my God, I think I like finally didn't have the goggles. And I was just like, holy, wow. Like, I think I finally saw it. And I even see it in my own family. Before my parents were plant-based, I would hear my mother say, well, I'm not as big as Aunt so-and-so. But I'm like, but Mom, you cannot. And this Aunt so-and-so is over 300 pounds. I'm like, Mom, you can't compare yourself to Aunt so-and-so who's 300 pounds and decide that you don't need to lose weight because you're not that big. And they've subsequently lost 40 pounds. What my parents did when they went plant-based, and I was like, I can't believe I had 40 pounds to lose. And I was like, but you just, I don't know. I think it's a mix, but I appreciate you saying that because I feel, I live in LA, so like, you're so thin. Oh no. Did I lose you?
Yeah, but I'm in back.
Okay, great. We're together again.
I think I'm following you. You live in LA and people say, oh my, what?
Oh yeah. Now I live in Los Angeles and everyone tends to be a little health-minded and a little vain, I'll say that. But I've definitely noticed when I've gone to other places and when I lived in other places, like when I lived on the East Coast, there's just, a different size of a population, I guess. And so I guess I never had that checks and balances of what was healthy. But yeah, that was the thing. Oh, you're so thin, but I wasn't at a healthy weight or a healthy BMI, so I couldn't have been too thin.
I always tell people, I mean, it's kind of an awkward situation when people are like, you're getting too thin, and you just, it's like, is that a compliment? Is that an insult? I'm a kind of a jokester. My brother and I both have that curse in our family. We love the curse. Everybody else, I don't know, they have to live with it. But I always tell people, you don't see me naked. Like, you know, like, I look great in clothing, maybe, you know? I feel confident in clothing, you know? But I think it's what we feel on the inside and what we feel when it's just stripped down to you and, you know, who you are and how you feel. And, you know, of course my mom and my sisters or my family would say, like, be worried about that because they're conditioned in a culture the culture that we live in, you know, and they're not really health-minded. And it's something that, like, I spent many years nagging at them for, finally just have been like, whatever, they may or may not ever come around, but I can't risk my relationship with them anymore to try and wake them up, you know?
Yeah, and that's definitely one thing that I've had to learn, too, is sometimes you just have to find a way to diffuse it or change the channel because it's just, they're not going to hear you. And
well, yeah, and I've got
your relationship to suffer as a result.
Exactly. And I have, you know, we are raising our children to be confident in who they are, but also be respectful of other people. That's really hard to do when you have strong opinions at, with people. My daughter Maddie was early of the week in May, and you know, she has very strong opinions as to any living creature. She has since she was born. She's just been that way, you know. And my dad hunts, so you know, you can imagine their conversations.
Oh, I can because I was a vegetarian as a child and my mother's brother was a hunter and he would constantly show me pictures of the animals he killed. We didn't speak for many years and I'm in my 30s now, and while I'm kind of over it, I'm still kind of like, you were a jerk when I was a kid.
Oh yeah, no, my daughter Maddie was like three or four, not much older than four if she was four. And my dad is, you know, a Montanan guy now. We all lived in California growing up, but my dad fell into that role very easily 10 years ago when he moved to Montana. And he had gone hunting, and he had a deer hanging in the garage.
Oh.
And my daughter went over there and went into the garage, which also happens to be my mom's, like, wood shop room, you know. And she was mortified, like, you have Bambi dead in your garage. And my dad's response was, actually, it's Bambi's mom.
No, not okay.
So I don't know if my daughter will ever get over her grudge over on Papa for that. But you know, that you just live in this world where I'm trying to raise the children to be confident in who they are. And you know, Maddie, if anybody read that story, she started a boycott at school for milk. Which turned into this really great experience for her, but I still had to deal with moms who were upset that their kids came home and were like, I'm not eating meat anymore because Maddie and I are, you know, doing this thing. And so I think it's a whole different culture for them as children versus us as adults. You know, we can take it a little more. Like, people aren't necessarily any nicer by any means, but teaching children to, like, okay, stick to your grounds and become confident, yet try and show them respect. It's just, it's a messy, messy thing.
It is, and I can really appreciate what she went through, and what you went through too, I think, because when I was a child and I was a vegetarian, I remember, I don't know if it was like a birthday or a sleepover party, I don't remember the specifics, but I was around this other girl who was like a daughter of my mom's friend. Like, she wasn't my classmate or in my Girl Scout troop or anything. She was just a kid my age, and our moms were friends. And anyway, I guess she noticed I wasn't eating the hamburger. And so I explained, she asked me why, and I said, oh, I'm a vegetarian. And she's like, well, why? And I was like, because I like animals. And it occurred to me that this girl, who I think was like a year or two younger than me, didn't realize that hamburgers were made from cows. And I'm like, oh, well, a hamburger is made from a cow, and I just don't want to eat a cow. And she just, like, threw her hamburger down and started crying. And I, you know, I was, like, 8, so I was like, I don't know what to do. But anyway, it was the first time that this little girl ever realized that chicken nuggets are from chickens, you know, like, these things don't grow on trees like apples, and she would not eat meat anymore. And her mother, like, that she went home and decided to be a vegetarian. And her mother, like, yelled at my mother.
Mm-hmm.
And was like screaming at my mom because of me. And I was like, I didn't mean it. Like, I wasn't like out to convert this kid. I was just like trying to answer a question. And it was like this big contentious thing where I never saw that girl again. And I think my mom is still not friends with this person. And I'm just like, what? But I just remember this so vividly as a kid that, because my mom was like, you need to not tell other children. And I was like, but I just was trying to explain myself. Like, I mean, I was bad.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard because we live in a society that if everything is focused on food, it's like, hey, you want to hang out? Let's go get a coffee. Let's go get a drink. Let's go get food. Let's have a birthday party. What food are you serving there? You know, someone died. How much food are we bringing? What are you eating? You know, it just doesn't matter what it is, there is food.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we went to a birthday party on the 20th for my kid's cousin. First time they've gotten to do anything like that. My kids are the only kids in the family other than this one cousin that we now live near in Phoenix. And I had to bring, you know, our own cupcakes. And it was kind of last minute, and thanks to Whole Foods, I was able to grab some, but some vegan cupcakes for them. But, you know, you become this awkward, you know, whatever. I met a mom there because she was like, oh, yeah, I raised my kid vegan for the first 2 years, and now she just prefers it that way. I don't know why, you know. And, you know, they start a conversation, but other people, you know, some people look at you like you're a clown, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're like this show, and now everybody's like wants to challenge you, and you know, you got girls looking you up and down, comparing your body mm-hmm. to their body, and like somehow it's this competition because we're so competitive with each other. And it's like, I just want to bring my kids a cupcake, so
right, like, I just want to feed my kids a cupcake, like,
and so that they don't feel bad when they're sitting there twiddling their thumbs while everyone else is eating, you know, Costco sheet cake.
Right. And if it had been an allergy, like if your kids like had like this deathly peanut allergy, nobody would have like checked you out.
It would have been like catering. And you know, my two middle children, the benefit to that exact thing is I can say, oh, they're lactose, you know, they cannot have dairy, and we don't do meat eating either, so it's just by nature, you know. And people are like, oh, you're vegan. I'm like, I do not use that word. And then you become weirder because they're like, you don't eat any animals and you're not vegan. What are you?
What is going on?
And my oldest will usually, if she's there, just pipe in and she's like, we're herbivores, you know. And then she'll list like animals that are herbivores, and then she'll just like, she's very sweet and loving, but she's also very like, she puts a period at the end of things she says, you know, like,
I love that. That's so cute.
Like, this isn't open for competition or anything else. I'm telling you this, now be happy.
I love it. And, piggyback, if you haven't, I really can't recommend enough that you read Maddie's Herbie of the Week story on happyherbivore.com to kind of put some of this in context, but it's a really beautiful, it was so well received too. It had so many loving comments and likes, and it was really sweet. But I highly recommend reading that after listening to this podcast.
Oh yeah, she loved reading those responses. I mean, I'm the mom, so I can beam and, you know, brag and got all this pride. But yeah, I think just like you were saying, was a lot of children don't realize where their food comes from. It's amazing how many children have not had vegetables. They eat their vegetables in like, what are those juices that you can buy at Costco or whatever. You
oh,
know,
like, yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, I don't remember the
just
name.
Just a blended
yeah.
form of something that tastes like sugar now, you know?
Yeah, and it's like a fragment. It's like, I plant fragment is the word I like to use, because I'm like, it's not even really the strawberry anymore. It's so
yep.
far from, it kind of was a strawberry.
Yeah.
At one point.
That's how it happened for Maddie. Maddie was, but she was only like 3, I think, when she found out that chicken nuggets were, in fact, from a chicken.
Mm-hmm.
Then she was mortified and angry. She was so mad that we had even put it on her plate.
And that's her third, yeah.
But she loved him before that, you know? And so we just kind of accepted that. My husband's mother was vegetarian all of his upbringing, so he had to go to a friend's house to have steak if he wanted that, you know? And I didn't have any exposure to health food. You know, it was Costco bulk store and I think church donation food. Like, I mean, seriously,
mm-hmm.
I think back and I lived half a mile from a Safeway. We used to rollerblade there, my sister and I, and behind a scary building that had a lot of homeless people there. I was 8. Anyway, it was just, you know, California. And
yeah.
It was fine.
It's fine.
It was normal. Nowadays, my mom, like, I let my kids walk a block away, and my mom's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you're letting them do that. You know?
It's so funny you say that, because I was just talking about this with my husband that, I mean, when I was a kid, I could go all over the place and back on my bike, and now I would not, it's like a block down the street. You're like, what are you doing? No, you can't walk there by yourself.
I know.
Well, you cannot walk 4 doors down to the neighbors by yourself, but I was, like, riding all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
To the grocery store. The 7-Eleven was, like, half a mile away, and if I had enough, you know, change, I would go to the 7-Eleven on my bike and go buy candy with my,
yeah.
you know, change that I'd saved. And I'm like, I can't believe this, that this was normal.
No, I know. My sister and my brothers and I would take a bucket and we would go down to the creek by our house. We had to cross the major street that only had stop signs with which people ran all the time.
Oh,
and then we would go catch crawdads in the creek. But it was kind of down this little slope into this, what they call a green belt. And then people slept in the bushes down there. We found like 12 like knives down there before, like hand knives. Just like in the creek. Somebody ditched, I think, last minute. My mom's like, I never let you guys go, da-da-da, with, you know, comparing to my children. And I'm like, are you kidding me? She's like, well, you could hear my whistle. I'm like, you couldn't hear me scream.
I know.
Like, because my mom has a fierce whistle, like, super loud. I don't know. I don't even know how to whistle without my fingers on my lips. But she whistled, and I'm like, you couldn't have heard me scream, you know. And, but she was shocked I let the kids walk a block together, the 3 of them, to get on the school bus, you know, in Montana. So it's kind of a whole different culture that these kids are raised in all across the board.
Right? Totally. I mean, I thank my lucky stars every day that I did not grow up with the internet. I mean, I did, but it came when I was, like, in college, so I, you know. Anyway, kind of circling back to where we started this whole podcast talking about our allergies. So one thing is that, you know, food sensitivities and allergies happen. They pop up at all different times. A lot of times I find women discover them when they're pregnant or after they're pregnant, which makes sense. Our bodies, they just change so much, so we can't be surprised. But there's also other things, like my mom ate bananas for 20 years. She was allergic to bananas for 20 years. Then she wasn't allergic to bananas anymore. And so I've read things like, oh, your gut changes every 7 years. I have no idea what this deal is. And if you have a trauma, like myself, I had E. coli, that can change things. But point is, if it happens, it happens. Hopefully, maybe it'll go away someday. Maybe it won't. A true allergy is like, you know, if you eat it, you know, you're going to go into a bad situation. And everything else is considered a sensitivity. But that's just getting technical with the words. I say allergy, sensitivity. Basically, if you eat this food, it makes you not feel good. So that's what we mean when we talk about intolerances, sensitivity, allergy. Basically, if we eat this food, it doesn't make us feel so good. So for me, for example, I cannot have broccoli. I'm not going to go into anaphylactic shock over broccoli, but when I eat broccoli, I feel really bad. My stomach quadruples, if not triples in size, to the point where if you saw me, you would ask me when I was due, because my stomach gets so big. But this also happens to me with beans. And it wasn't always this way. I didn't always have problems eating beans, but after I had E. coli, I found that beans in my stomach just don't get along. I've soaked them, sprouted them, made them with seaweed, bought canned, not canned, organic, not organic, cooked them myself. You name it, I've tried it, and they just don't sit so good with my stomach. And I know that you've sort of had that feeling too, Nikki, and it's one of the things that we connected on is, oh gosh, I can't have beans. Well, how am I going to be plant-based without them? So I thought we could talk a little bit about that. And also about what happens if you're allergic to wheat, which is another thing. People are like, what? How could you possibly be vegan or plant-based without wheat? But that's possible, too. Mm-hmm. But maybe you can tell us sort of how you stumbled on the whole food sensitivity thing and how you never realized it wasn't normal to be in pain.
Yeah, so growing up, my family was allowed to have, all of us children were allowed to have one thing that we didn't eat. We were allowed to like pick one meal that we wouldn't have to be even eat a bite of, you know? And some of my siblings, it was like macaroni and cheese actually. And one of them was hot dogs and mine was pizza, which is kind of funny because I hated pizza as a child. Like, and come to find out like later on, I cannot have dairy. Like if I do have dairy, I'm in like, I feel like I'm being stabbed from the inside out. Mm-hmm. Like pains are so horrible. And but I was also never a bread person. Like other people are really obsessed with breads, and I've gone there sometimes because it tastes really good. But yeah, I think that when we're younger, our bodies, we're just more in tune, and we don't like something because we mm-hmm. don't like it. We don't realize like our body's telling us not to like it.
Yeah, we just so it's like subconscious associations or something.
It is. I think that, you know, I look at my kids and they're like, oh, I don't, you know, I had a friend growing up, she hated chocolate. She didn't like chocolate. Well, she actually cannot have chocolate. But as a kid, she just didn't like
it. She just
like
said
chocolate.
She didn't like it, yeah.
So she didn't eat it, you know? And so, anyways, when I was pregnant with my last child, I developed a rash on my stomach. It's like really light in color and it's not always irritating, you know, to the touch or anything, but it's never gone away. He's 5 and a half and it's gone away like for moments, like a day or something, you know, especially when I did the paleo, it started to go away, I think. But there's moments where it will spread, you know, across my, like it's crawling across my stomach. And sometimes slightly itchy, and I've had 4 different doctors give me the cream and say, put it on it and it'll go away.
Mm.
30 days, and 30 days after it goes away, keep doing it, and I did that, and then it just comes back. I mean, it's not something that's going to just disappear.
And a cream is just masking it, really. I mean, it's like a topical. It's not fixing whatever the problem is from the inside
yep.
out.
And now that I've been working out more and been trying to get my body to a point where I'm more comfortable in a bathing suit and stuff, I'm like, I don't want to live with this thing on my stomach. And
right.
if it's being irritated, it's like right, it'll crawl just past my pant line. So then, you know, anything you're wearing irritates it. And so I told my husband, I'm like, I don't want to just look at it as this thing on my skin anymore. It's like if it's come to the skin, to the surface, through nursing classes, I'm like, I've learned a lot. And it's like, if it's on the surface of my body, there is something else going on in the inside as well. So who knows what kind of freedom I would feel or relief I would get if I can get this thing to go away. And so becoming more sensitive to what you're eating, and I think going plant-based is a really good way to start to recognize how your body functions. Because you're cutting out a lot of the junk that you would feed your body anyway and mask those symptoms like IBS and stuff. People just mm-hmm. live with that forever. My dad still lives with that, you know. But when you strip it down, you start – it's like a blessing and a curse because it's a blessing. You start feeling better, but it's a curse because you kind of can't avoid noticing those triggers for you.
Right. Yeah. When your body hiccups, it starts to be a loud rumble.
Yep. And so right now I'm testing it with wheat because I've heard so many people say if it's the skin, it's most likely wheat. I know you and I were talking mm-hmm. about that. And it developed during pregnancy, but it has never gone away. So I would love for it to go away. I'd love to see how I feel when it's gone. And then beans. Beans are something I absolutely love. I love to have them. They're in almost every meal you can make, or you can at least make them in any meal. But I have to literally live with pain for 2 days after I've had beans. Like, it just takes a while for my body to get that through my system. And my stomach, like you were saying with broccoli, I look pregnant again. Like, I am so in, there's so much inflammation and pain. I don't even know how to really describe it otherwise.
Yeah, that's how I would feel. And, you know, for the longest time, everyone told me, oh, take probiotics, do this, drink that, you know, do this. I tried everything. And finally, I was just like, something's not working. I'm not feeling right. And so I finally put myself on an elimination diet, and I basically only ate potatoes for a few days just to, like, get myself right, to, like, get the stomach bloating down, to get the pain to go away, like, to get, I needed to, TMI, I needed to poop, like, I was having some constipation issues. I was, like, I finally, after a few days when I started feeling, like, good, like, okay, I feel good, I was bored to tears, I didn't want to eat any more potatoes, but I felt fine, and then I started, like, okay, today I'm gonna try adding this in, you know, I added, you know, kale. Okay, that worked. All right, next day I'm gonna try to add carrots. And like, I just continued to do this, and with every single time that I had a bean, I started to, it all happened again. Almost sometimes within like 10, 15, 20 minutes, I was already like, oh, I know this is only gonna get worse. And then I'd have to go back to the potatoes for 2 or 3 or 4 days to like get back to zero. And I was like in denial. I was like, let me try hummus. Maybe it's different if it's pureed.
Exactly. Let me try cooking it myself. Let me try buying cans. Some people are like, canned beans. Go to canned beans if you can't do beans. And then some people are like, oh no, only make them at home if you can't do beans. So I've done that. I've sprouted them for days. I've soaked them and then sprouted them and then soaked them and then washed them and then rinsed them after you cook them. I've done so many things, and people just look at you like you're this foreign animal.
I love them. I didn't always. When I first went plant-based, I was like, ew, gross. But after years, I like fell in love with them and how versatile they were. And I like the taste, and I like to do things with them. Not just like make a bean burger or refried beans, but I made all these different kinds of things with them. I was, this is amazing. And then I was like, wait.
I love teriyaki chickpeas.
Oh, God, I love the teriyaki chickpeas. I just
the Hawaiian, your teriyaki Hawaiian chickpea bowl in one of your books. That's like been my favorite since I got the book. This is like all the time, pineapple salsa and teriyaki chickpeas were good.
Love it.
But as a kid like you, I did not like beans. But it's heartbreaking because people are like, oh, just try a probiotic, have a beano. And those things actually don't do anything for me.
They made it worse for me. I actually had a few like emergency situations in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Taking those things, it was not pleasant.
It's hard, you know. Like, I guess the silver lining is that, you know, when I'm craving a baked good, it was like black bean brownies or, you know, white bean blondies, and now without beans, I'm
like, oh, hmm.
I'm reminded.
Like, I guess I'll eat this banana.
Yeah, I'd just like be happy with my breakfast smoothie and then, you know, just chill out on the sweets for the day.
Yeah, that's been sort of my thing. And one of the things I tell people is when you have an allergy or a sensitivity or something, it's for first thing is don't like go looking for heartbreak recipes. Like, I don't go looking at broccoli soups because there's just no point. There are so many million other soups out there. I just need to not go look at the broccoli ones. And that's sort of the things. Like, I've gotten really into making a mushroom-based burger. Mushrooms were another thing that I hated as a child, and I hated when I first went plant-based, but now I'm totally into. But it's just finding those workarounds, and there is always a substitution. I've never found a thing where there isn't something that you can do. And sometimes it's just, like, in our case, if you can't have beans, you know, if you can have lentils also don't like me, but if you can have lentils or tofu, that's often a substitute. But a lot of times, just another vegetable will work, and it's just, you've got to find those those substitutions. And if you are a part of the Meal Mentor, the forums are a treasure trove of information. There's so many people with different allergies, or just they don't like it. There's people who I'll get tips from with the broccoli, and they're not allergic to broccoli. They just hate it.
Yep. Yeah, so my husband Kevin, he cannot do broccoli. Broccoli, I mean, he could do broccoli, but I don't want him to.
You're like, I don't want him to. That's how my dogs are with broccoli. My dogs can eat broccoli, but I don't want to smell that, so.
No, and you know, my kids don't have any, other than the two that absolutely can't have dairy, and that's not a problem now. They don't have anything that they can't do. They're body wise, and I think it's nice for them to be starting young, you know. Maybe that will help them. My daughter swears that beans are was a staple of her ancestors or something, because she just loves beans, every color, anything. And she can handle them. That's fine, you know.
And she's probably helping herself out, because she's probably building all kinds of digestive enzymes, you know, because her body's still developing, which I never had beans as a kid except baked beans from a can, which was really just sugar. I would be in a better place if I'd had those digestive enzymes as a kid.
Yeah, I mean, they do say that, you know, to try and because beans have all these different sugars that we don't digest. They say to start, you know, baby steps and small to try and build that up. And I did all of that, so I know that that's not also not going to work for me.
Yeah.
But I think for children and for those that it will work for most, because beans isn't across the board. You know, it's not one of the 8 main allergies or something. You know.
Yeah.
So most people can find a way to overcome that. And but yeah, you figure out different things. Like last night we had the bacon. The new BLT tacos.
Oh yeah, those are so good.
Oh my gosh, yes. Yeah, they were good. We killed it.
Yay!
And what's interesting is my 9-year-old, now he's hated mushrooms. I've had to hide them in something, or he will just pick them out. He'll spend all of dinner picking them out. And just recently, I mean, he's hated avocado, tomatoes, and mushrooms, which is so funny, because what does last night's dinner have?
All those things.
All three of those, and he ate them. And he's just, that's the other thing with children. It's just keep giving it to them. I give those things to them on their plate every day. I give them whatever it is for dinner. My 5-year-old, everything is separated and not mixed in. But, you know, now he loves avocado, which a week ago he wasn't eating, or 2 weeks ago now, he wasn't eating. And so I think that they start trying new things, you know. People usually find out that, oh, you're plant-based or vegan, you know, and be like, your kids must eat so many vegetables. And I was just like, my kids aren't magic at all. They're not magical. They're no different than any other kid.
I didn't
give them
magic beans.
No magic beans in our house. And, you know, anything, people are like, oh, I could never do that. My kid would never eat. And it's like, yes, they will, because I guarantee you, they probably eat 10 to 15 different types of things right now. Mm-hmm. 10 to 15 different foods at specific ages and younger years, you know. Kids don't just eat a plethora of stuff, whether you're eating a sad diet or not. There's specific things that they're going to eat because that's what they like. And those things can shift when it's all you offer them.
That's true. And I think, too, that was another thing that was really inspiring to me when I was in Asia, is I was seeing kids eating, things that I'm an adult, and I was like, ooh, I don't know if I'd eat that. And they were eating it, you know, all these seaweeds and dehydrated fish heads and all this stuff that I think any adult American would be like, gross. And these are kids eating it for breakfast. I'm like, but that's what their parents feed them. That's what they know. It's, you know, there's definitely some truth to that.
Yeah, my husband lived in Mexico for 2 years, and he had, you know, chicken feet soups, you know. I don't even know what they call them. But, you know, that was delicate. That was yummy. Kids loved them. They chew on chicken feet, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. So I think it all has to do with what you're offering them. You know, I don't buy – if we buy a snack or a treat, it's for that day, and the rest gets thrown out if it's not eaten.
That's a smart practice.
And it's just – if it's not in the house, you know, then it's doesn't get eaten. You know, if I'm not buying it, where are my kids going to get it from? So
– right.
I think that we have that kind of power. Yeah, you don't have to have a power play with them. I tell them, you know, oh, Mom, I'm hungry. I'm like, oh, well, there's extra carrots and there's celery in the fridge. Mm-hmm. If you're hungry, have some. Well, yeah. I don't want that. Do we have something chocolate? Well, now you're not.
You must not be hungry.
Yeah, you're not really hungry. You're just wanting to eat to eat. And that's, I think that is what you have to breed out of our kids, because that's mm-hmm. the culture that we've been raised in.
And I like to always tell moms, you know, you're the nutritional gatekeeper for your family. You don't have to be like, you know, this like Nazi type where like, no, but it's like you said, you just don't even let it in the house. You don't open the gate to it, then it's not there.
No, and you can't, I was going to nursing school for a while. I have an art degree, but I was going to nursing school for a while and, you know, trying to do something with an income. And where I've always wanted to help people. So I've kind of just been bouncing around with different ideas and completely wishy-washy as to who I am or what I'm going to be when I grow up. But I left nursing nutrition, the school for nutrition, this class for nutrition twice. Cause I'm like, it's basically what's holds me up every time. Cause I'm like, I just can't do this. It's so hard, because everything you're taught to be a nurse is like, again, is different than what the reality is of what your doctors are telling those people. And you don't have any right as a nurse to like, be like, you should cut beans out, you know, out of your right. diet, see mm-hmm. how you feel, you know? And so, but it's hard because you learn so much, and then you're like, with kids, it's just a whole new ball game. And I've learned like they will, I totally lost my train of thought. It like flew.
You know about the nutrition in nursing school.
I know. I'm like, I mentioned that because we were talking about kids and food and I talk so much that it's just like,
well, maybe you'll come back, but I think you might have been getting to the point that what doctors and in all medical schools is so awful is they don't teach nutrition, and what they do teach is often wrong, and they don't teach that nutrition can, you know, cure, heal, and fix. I mean, doctors, it's shocking how many doctors I come across that ask me where I get my protein, especially when I say I can't eat beans, and I'm like, you do realize that protein is literally in every food, yes?
Yes, and that is so true. And I had, in Montana, became good friends with our neighbors two doors down, and he's an ER doctor. And he lives off of Red Bulls and bread and beer. And I love him to death, but it's like, you have, he said he only had one course of nutrition, and it was basic body functioning nutrition. You know, it wasn't.
It's lucky he even had that, honestly.
Yeah, it was just basically what you get as a nurse, and even maybe downscaled some, just like, hey, this is how calories in and calories out, you know, and this is how much you can't live without meat and this and that. And, you know, everyone always says, well, where do you get your protein? And I was like, well, I don't know, from my lettuce. And people look at me like, I'm crazy. I like to say things that just make people like confused, like they don't know if you're joking or if you're serious anymore, and then hopefully it diffuses the situation, because food is such a
hot topic and touchy.
People are very, very sensitive mm-hmm. about their food. And with the kids, I was saying, like, they're so adaptable, you know. And so if I don't bring it into the house, then they can choose to eat it outside of my house. If that's what, you know, I used to, when we first, the first time we went plant-based and we kind of fell off the wagon for a little bit in the beginning after a little while. But that first time I was trying to be so hardcore, you know, and I exhausted myself obsessing over every angle. And I think that we live in this world that like, kind of relies on you being sick anyway. I think we have more mm-hmm. sick care than health care. But we live in this world that's all about, you know, fitting in and being like the crab in the box, you know? Like when you go crab fishing, you drop a box in, it's open. They can get back out if they wanted to, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But the more crabs that are in the box, they start pulling each other back in. So you try and get out, and the other ones are pulling you back in. And
I love that analogy. It's so true.
In some of my years of therapy, this is the analogy that finally clicked to me in so many areas of my life where it was like, you're not doing, if people are upset with something you're doing, you're probably doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that we are okay with change. Change is scary because it means that if you're different than me, then does that mean I'm doing something wrong or you're doing something wrong? And they try, you know, people would rather you be like them, even mm-hmm. even if it's unhappy. They'd rather you be unhappy together than have to face that fear of like, oh my gosh, she's getting happy and I'm still here. I'm not okay with that, but I'm not ready to change either. So let's just pull her back in, you know? And so it's that crab mentality, you know? And
absolutely.
That's, I think that as parents is something we have to fight daily raising children, because you send them out of your home to the crab bucket.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they got to fight to come home every day and keep, you know, stay who they want to be or who they, you know, are inside. Like, my kids are all very happy eating this way. They're pretty confident for the first 5 minutes of anyone challenging them. And then it's just kind of like they feel that, you know, you can get depleted and you can get defeated. And
that's what they want. They want that.
Yeah. And
they want to peer pressure you back into conformity.
Exactly. And it's
rock the boat.
That's another point I was going for is that being plant-based, I see it all the time on the forums and stuff, like I'm on Facebook a lot. I do beach body workouts and stuff, and I have all these challenge groups to check in on. So I'm in there throughout the day, and I see people, you know, posting, and there's questions, and I know from the very beginning, I have asked you so many questions on those forums and everyone else, so many questions, because we're all so used to having some type of handbook or some type of rules, or you have to fit into this certain mold. And when you don't fit into that mold, it's terrifying and freaky, you know. And when I wrote to you about my bio a little, it was like, if I can't have wheat, that's kind of scary, because then you're not like everyone else again, and now you're different, and we all want to be just the same.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think part of the freedom of being an herbivore and plant-based and being able to be in tune with our bodies is also having to learn and come to terms with and be okay with the fact that you don't need to fit a mold. There is no mold that you have to be, you know, you don't have to follow, like, I can't have beans. That doesn't make me, that's okay, you know? And it's okay if everybody else has beans. It's like, my whole family doesn't have to go off beans because I can't have them, you know? And that's a whole new world. I think it's uncomfortable for some people. Everyone would like to just be all or nothing, everyone the same. So that it's not, so we don't have to look at ourselves too much, or I don't know exactly why we fear that.
I think there's a comfort in conformity, and I'm sure it has to do with some kind of, you know, survival mechanism from forever ago in which, you know, we needed to blend into the pack to survive, and mm-hmm. so we still, like, feel like that, you know, I need to do that. But like you said, I know, so beautiful about how, you know, you have to, and the sooner you embrace the difference and that it's okay, that I think it is just so freeing. You're just being like, and we all say, oh, I don't care what other people think. No, it really means not I don't care what other people think. It's like, it means that I'm okay with the fact that I'm different, or I'm being different, or I have to be different. Like, it's just learning to live with it and you know, not find the comfort in conformity, find it in the non-conformity. And something that you were saying, it reminded me, it was on a poster in high school, and I wrote it down, and I've kept it with me every day since. And it's, what is right is not always popular, and what is popular is not always right. And that just hit me hard when I was 15, and it's almost 20 years later, and I still just, it still stays with me. And I think that's kind of what you were saying with the crabs, which that was an awesome analogy. But it's okay to not follow the pack. And sometimes you're better for it. But I do think there's a reason why they say things like misery loves company. And I think that that's very true, that if people are upset with what you're doing, then you're probably doing the right thing. And One thing I'm always telling the members is you're a mirror, and often you're reflecting back. They don't like what they see, and the way they deal with it is to put you down.
Yep.
And make themselves feel better.
Exactly. And I think what's great about the meal plan form and thing and finding those people, your niches, you know, those people that do have things like you, at least having most things in common, or, you know, everyone lives different lives, but on the meal plans, we all have the meal plan in common, you know, and it kind of, we're tribe mentality people. So even though we're saying, you know, like being different is okay, maybe you're doing it better, it doesn't mean that we don't still need those people and seek those people. Mm-hmm. But by being okay with walking away from those people that are keeping a distance and or separating your life into categories, you know, it may seem overwhelming, but it's actually freeing to realize, like, okay, I have my family who I love dearly. We do not talk about food.
Yep.
And that's okay, because I have the meal plans and I have Furby parents online and I have all these things with people I've never met. I haven't met a single person in, you know, in physical time in life or whatever to in any of those groups. But I know that if I have a question or anything, I have like this whole family there, and that's okay. And that makes me feel like I have a place that I'm accepted there. My family accepts me because they love me because I have to. You know, and so although we need to be confident in being who we are and just accepting the fact that, like, we don't have to fit a mold, you know, I think the biggest key to that is also just finding something that you can connect to with other people, whether it's, like, your sports. I don't watch sports much. I went to college for 5 years with 4 children and working, so I didn't stare at a TV screen for years. But, you know, just having your hobbies or, like, food and health are mine, and connecting the positivity. When you're positive, you know, that's the other thing. You are looking into a mirror, and I think sometimes we take the most offense at things that we all – because other people – because it's something that we're still fighting within ourselves.
Absolutely.
And so the more we surround ourselves with people who feel like us and think like us, the stronger we become too. And I think that's what's great about your different pages that you have online for us, is that it gives everybody an outlet, you know, to feel that, to feed that positivity from.
Right.
And refuel. You know, so that we can go out there in the world and pick the heck out of a menu, and the waiter can look at us
and escape the crab box.
Yes. And they can be like, but you eat cheese, right? Like, no. People don't know what vegan is, so you can't even use that word. But, you know, you can, at the end of the day, you can get online and you can be like, oh, I have this whole family here that totally understands it. I laugh sometimes pretty good at things people post on there and experiences they've had.
Oh,
you know,
me too. I laugh so hard. I'm like, oh, I wish I wasn't laughing, but I can relate so hard right now.
I know. I think you could make you know, Honey of Humans of New York.
Oh yeah,
I follow that because,
oh, I should totally do something like that.
It is so good, such good juju. But I think it'd be hilarious to have photos of all different Herbies with their quotes and stories of what we've experienced, you know, just because it is comical. And the only people that get it are us, you know?
Mm-hmm. I know, like,
and so
Herbie problems for real. Yeah, I love the idea of the Humans of New York for Herbie. Is that, I'm gonna have to look into that. That will be great.
I think it's funny. It's kind of like the, it's just a more humorous side to the Herbie of the Week type thing, you know. You get the serious juju, good juju there, but the humor. There's so much humor in what you go through when you're different.
Hey, everyone. This interview with Nikki and Lindsay was so good that it went to almost 2 hours, so we decided to break it up into 2 episodes so you can finish this interview on episode 29 with Nikki and Lindsay. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Meal Mentor podcast. You could follow us on Twitter at Meal Mentor, or see all the beautiful photos of meal plan recipes on Instagram at Meal Mentor. Thank you very much.